Thank you for bearing with us while we get a few more technical glitches taken care of. We'll be starting shortly.
Chuck, could you also ask if anyone at the table is on Adobe Connect? Do they turn off the audio on the computer? Please get us back into the microphones.
Did everyone hear that? Please turn off the, if you're on Adobe Connect, which I assume everyone is, please turn off the audio on your computer. Thank you. Okay, before we officially start, is there anyone besides Tim and Wendy who is not able to get into Adobe Connect? Okay, three, that's right. There's three then. And are Rafik and Terry on Adobe Connect looking here? Okay, you already confirmed that. Okay, very good. Welcome to everyone to the GNSO Council meeting at this annual general meeting of ICANN. I'm happy to be here and not in the hospital. Thank you for all the many, many good wishes. I really appreciate that. And I can tell you that the hospitals here in Columbia are very good. The staff and the doctors are very good, but I'm still happier to be here. So let's start our GNSO Council meeting on for this meeting. We have an extremely full agenda. We are going to try to incorporate participation from the audience at various points throughout the meeting, time permitting. And so you'll need to go to a mic and queue up for that when that opportunity happens. If you do look at the agenda that's posted on the GNSO workspace or the GNSO homepage, you'll see where those opportunities are and can plan on that in advance. To start things off, let me ask Glenn to do a roll call.
Okay, thanks. Thank you, Chuck. Chuck Gomes.
Present.
Jeff Newman, who is the alternate for Caroline Greer.
Present.
Edmund Chun. Adrian Kinderis.
Sibaroni.
In case some of you haven't discovered it, the on button is up. The button's up for on and off is down. Okay.
Tim Ruiz.
Present.
Stefan van Gelder.
Here.
Terry Davis. Terry, can you hear us? Terry was going to call in. Zaid Jamil is being replaced by John Berar, who's going to be our new councillor for the business constituency. John Berar?
Present.
Mike Rodenbach?
Here in mind, if not voice.
Christina Rosette?
Present.
David Taylor?
Present.
Jamie Wagner?
Present.
Rafik Damak. Rafik, are you on the phone?
Yes, present.
Thank you. Bill Drake?
Presente.
Debbie Hughes?
Present.
Wendy Seltzer?
Present.
Rosemary Sinclair?
Present.
Mary Wong?
Present.
Olga Cavelli?
Present.
Andre Kolesnikov?
Present.
Alan Greenberg?
Present.
Antoine Lee.
Present.
Thank you, Chuck.
Well,
Terry?
My name is Wolfgang Knoben. I'm present.
Sorry, Terry, are you there?
Yes.
Thank you.
And me, myself, I'm Wolfgang Knoben. I'm also present.
Wolfgang and, sorry, I missed you. Wolfgang Knoben and Jamie Wagner, yes.
Anyone else
I missed?
Okay, thank you very much, Glenn. Are there any disclosures of interest? Stefan?
I have a point of order, Chuck. Sorry to spring this on you, but a last-minute motion has just come in. It hasn't cleared the 8-day deadline, I realize that, and even though it was submitted 104.78 hours behind that deadline, Tim has agreed to let that pass. It's an unusual motion. It was made by Mary, and it was seconded by the full council, so I'll let Mary read it now.
Whereas the current chair of the GNSO Council was taken ill on arrival in Cartagena, whereas he has since had to wait an agonizing few days before undergoing a successful medical procedure in Bogota on Monday, whereas the council can attest to the commitment of the chair, both to the ongoing work of the council as well as to his BlackBerry, which dedication continued up to and including the moment of his imminent entry into the operating room, which gives new meaning to the term remote participation. And whereas the ICANN community wishes to express in our public comment its welcome to Cartagena with best wishes for a speedy recovery, resolved, the council hereby presents Chuck Gomes with the crowning glory of our week in Cartagena.
Thank you very, very much. I appreciate it. And it wasn't just craziness on my part to be actively involved in things going on here in the hospital. I was bored silly. So it helped. Thank you very, very much.
Chuck,
Adrian.
Chuck, if we could get this meeting over quickly, we've got to have that hat back within 2 hours. So.
Hey, Chuck, will you be the timekeeper on that, Adrian? So that we know, okay.
And can I just add, for the benefit of the audience, this was a joke. There was no motion.
And I want to thank Olga and Stefan for taking over the leadership in just totally commendable fashion, and of course everyone else for just jumping in. And that was very rewarding to me, because if things are going the way they should, it shouldn't be dependent on one person at all, and it wasn't. And that's a very good sign for the council. So my compliments and thanks sincerely.
On a serious note, I have a point just about this meeting, Chuck. I don't understand, in all my time of having these public meetings, exactly what the purpose of the public participation is. I understand the distinction of our phone meetings that we have every few weeks, and at that we allow observers to listen in now at the time and dynamically to the conversation. They cannot participate. They are observers. I don't understand why we have, and happy to have it explained to me, but I just failed to understand why we have a meeting now where folks can come up and contribute to the conversations at this one time. It seems to me, if we're going to do it once, why don't we do it always? And if we're not going to do it, then why do we do it at the public meetings? So if I could get some clarification around that, because largely, if it's to sway our votes are subject to our constituencies and any stakeholder groups, rather, and we already have determined our votes most times going in, unless we have the explicit permission from our stakeholder group to vote independently. So I'm not exactly sure why the requirement. And I don't want to stifle it if it's necessary and it can be explained. Please don't get me wrong. I'm not saying don't do it. But I'd just like to know why it's been put in place. I don't know whether now is an appropriate time to have that discussion, or if you'd like to pick it up at some time, or I'll take it offline. But for me, it just seems a bit of an anomaly that I don't understand.
Thank you, Adrian. Well, first of all, I don't think it's a requirement. I'm not aware of any place that requires us to do that. It's more of a practice that has been going on for a few years. And we probably will, to discuss it further, we'll have to take it offline and talk further, because our agenda, we're going to be really challenged to finish our agenda today. It's a practice that I personally have always supported. You're right, and you know in my stakeholder group that we don't vote unless we have directions from our stakeholder group. So, you can try and sway me all you want. I'm tied to what, even if I disagree, to what the stakeholder group decided. But there are some, I think, on the council sometimes who do have the freedom to make adjustments, so I suppose there could be some influence there. But you raised good points, and I think we should talk about those, and we can maybe follow up on that in our wrap-up meeting tomorrow. If we have time, that's going to be pressed as well. Thank you, Adrian. Any disclosures of interest? Okay. Then going on to the statements of interest, there is one new statement of interest that John posted. Please note his second version. There were two, I think, sent out. Thank you very much, John. Adrian?
I'm getting in early today. Am I required? I did do my statement of interest at the council working session on Saturday. But did that want to be brought up again now?
I should have mentioned that one as well. Thank you for reminding me. Thank you, Adrian. That's appreciated. Okay. Any comments on the agenda? Then just one comment on the minutes from our 18 November meeting, Glenn.
Thank you, Chuck. They have not yet been posted because the amendment which was asked for by Bill Drake has not yet been put in the minutes. I'll get them done as quickly as possible.
You haven't been busy, have you?
No. I went to the beach.
I didn't think so. Yeah. So, okay. Olga.
Thank you, Chuck. Just a comment about my statement of interest. I submitted it with more detail to the council list. Is it necessary that I read it? It's already sent to the list. There's a link in the agenda.
No, I don't believe so. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Olga. Appreciate that. Going on then to agenda item 2, the GNSO project decision making or prioritization, as we've referred to it over the past year or so. And Olga's going to give us a brief update of what occurred in one of our working sessions over the weekend.
Thank you, Chuck. Well, we discussed during 1 hour what we did in Brussels and the goods and the bads about the prioritization process. What we did is, I don't want to take a lot of time about this, I already sent a summary of what we discussed into our council list, and we agreed that we should have a process that should be simple. We thought that it could be good that the leaders, chair and vice chairs, would suggest the council after a simple process. I think Rosemary made a very good suggestion about some key questions to do once a new project is going to be part of our work. And then there were also suggestions about appointing methodology to put points into the different projects. So we thought we should have a methodology that should be simple. And then with this tool, the chair and vice chair should suggest the council how to proceed and how to prioritize our work. It's a Spanish surrounding environment that hits my English. Sorry. And what we agreed, it is not to set up a drafting team, but a group to talk over coffee. That was Rosemary's suggestion. And I already shared with you the names of these people in the council list. So this is more or less what we talked about in Saturday morning.
Thank you, Olga. And does that need to be Colombian coffee?
Should be, or Brazilian. I don't know. In Argentina, we don't have coffee, so.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions or comments from the council on that? Wolf?
Thank you. Wolf Knoben speaking. With regards to this process, to which should be follow-up of the prioritization process, I would like to draw the attention of the council to the presentations we have been given by the staff yesterday, by the CFO, with regards to budget planning for the fiscal year 12 and the implementation of a new process to that. And staff is requiring the SO, CACs, and the different bodies here in ICANN for input for this fiscal year plan, with regards to their ideas, with regards to projects and so on. And as I understood from the timeline, it's a very tough timeline, since there will be a common public period until March of next year. So, meaning that this group, Olga was just mentioning here, from the council dealing with those matters, and also the council has to take that into consideration, that for the fiscal year 12, already there is a very tough timeline until March 12. And I would like really that we take this into consideration during our next meetings. Thank you.
Thank you, Wolf. Anyone else on the council or anyone from the audience? Okay, going on then to agenda item 3, elections of council chair and vice chairs. This is mostly informational. I do appreciate announcement regarding the non-contracted party house. I received earlier today that they are still working on the process of electing a vice chair. So hopefully that decision will be forthcoming shortly. The contracted party house elected Jeff Newman as vice chair from that house. The chair election results, Stefan Van Gelder was elected as chair of the council. And I want to publicly thank both Stefan and Olga for their willingness to put their names on the ballot and willingness to serve in what is a extremely demanding job. So I know that everyone's going to support Stefan on that role. I know he will have a great team of vice chairs to work with him and the excellent staff support to make that happen. And, of course, I will be glad to be helpful in any way I can. In my less demanding capacity as just a regular registry stakeholder group member. Stefan, please.
Thank you. Thanks, Chuck. I just wanted to thank everybody, but more specifically, I wanted to thank Olga. It's been great working with her this weekend and over the past year, and I think she deserves a round of applause as well for what she's done for the council. I also, if I may, just wanted to add my personal thanks to both you and Avery for the guidance over the past few years, and to John Nevitt, who has been an invaluable source of help for me.
Thank you very much, Stefan. And with regard to the assignment of nominating committee appointees, hopefully all of you are aware of the bicameral structure of the council, where we have two houses. To each one of those houses, one of the three non-com appointees is appointed to that particular house. In this past year, Olga has been with the non-contracted party's house, and Terry Davis, who's on the phone with us today, was assigned to the contracted party's house. And Andrei Kolesnikov was, to use the term that I think was created by Avery, the homeless NCA. It's a non-voting position that participates in the council, not in any particular house. And the NOMCOM appointees for this coming year for the non-contracted party house will again be Olga Cavalli. For the contracted party house, it will be Andrei Kolesnikov. So Andrei now has a home. Congratulations, Andrei. Welcome to the contracted party house. And our newest counsel, Carlos Aguirre, will be the homeless NCA for this year. I suppose we really shouldn't keep using that term, but it at least gives us a little smile. And that's not meant in any derogatory way at all. The input from that position, even though it's not a voting position, can still be extremely valuable as the council is considering decisions it's made. And I can say this past year that Andre, in his capacity, has many times offered insights and raised issues and asked questions that was very helpful to the overall council, even though he didn't have a specific vote. The next item on the agenda under this topic, yes, okay, I see a couple hands. I'm sorry, I should be looking at, I don't see anything in Adobe Connect, but if you can use Adobe Connect, I'll start trying to watch.
Oh, sorry.
Say, Wolf, go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Chuck. Just coming back to what you mentioned, that the non-contract party house did not have the ability to provide you with a name for the vice chair for the next sessions, for the next round, I would like to suggest that in order to continue to have continuation on this position until the vice chair is elected from the non-contract party house, Olga should continue to work on that position. So, and I was asking her, and she was agreeing, and I think there's agreement also in the house about that. So that's my suggestion. Thank you.
So if I understand it correctly, your suggestion is that Olga continue in her capacity as vice chair if one is not elected by the end of the annual general meeting. Now, that's not a decision for the council, okay? It's a decision for the House, and so I'll leave it to the House to deal with that, if that's all right with you. Okay, but I do appreciate you communicating that. Olga?
Two things. First, I would like to thank very much Stefan for a fantastic weekend. That my dream came true. I was for a second or for some hours chair of the GNSO. So, but it was really a pleasure working with him. We really enjoyed it. It was and having your directions with emails from the hospital was also very helpful. So thanks very much for that, Stefan. I enjoyed it very much. And also, I'm okay, Vice Chair, and of course, if the House wants that I would like to make that very clear. Thank you.
Thank you. Jeff?
Yeah, I was just going to ask if anyone from the non-contracted party House could give us kind of a timeline or when there's an expected decision or what the goal is to have a Vice Chair in place.
As soon as possible.
Thank you, Wolf. Okay. Next, let's spend a little bit of time in this meeting. We're not going to resolve this next topic, and there obviously have been a lot of concerns expressed about some of the procedures that the council approved in the last few months. One of those is the election process itself, and there have been a lot of, I think, very constructive suggestions how it could be improved. Let's spend a few moments now talking about some concerns, even though many of them have been communicated on the council list, and you all can look at the archives of the council list to see those discussions. I think it might be beneficial if we did take some time here in this public meeting of talking about some of the concerns of the process, the way it is defined today in the GNSO operating procedure. So I will open a queue on the council for that topic right now. And remember, those of you that are not in Dolby Connect, just raise your hand and I will call on you that way. Everybody's happy with the election process the way it's designed right now. I know that's not true. Stefan.
I didn't want to be the first to speak on this, but no, I think we have to have a look at this procedure carefully. There was certainly a lot of worries that came through as we were working through the procedure, both last year and this year. And I think that the basic worry is that most of us didn't really know what the exact procedures were and how we should work them. I mean, there's basic there's basic guidelines, but I think we need to go into more detail into the procedures, and I also think we need to have a look at the way the rounds of voting are organized and the percentages and everything. So I think we should have a look, perhaps suggest some changes and take that back to the relevant steering committee to have them look at that as well.
Thank you. And there are a couple items noted on the agenda itself that have been identified. First of all, the need to define the chair and vice chair terms in the procedures themselves. That's really not defined clearly in there now. A second item was the OSC charter ends at this meeting, and that'll be dealt with in another, and they're the ones through which the procedures were recommended. And that'll be dealt with in item 10 on the agenda. Anyone else want to share a comment? Jeff?
Yeah, I think there was some discussion over the last month or so, and I think it's something worth exploring, is actually having the election of the chair done by the incoming council members as opposed to the way it was done this year with the outgoing council. And I think that's certainly worth exploring, and I think that has merit. And I personally, again, it's all personal, think that that should be the first act of the new council.
Thank you. Bill?
I very much agree. Excuse me. I very much agree with what Jeff just said. And, in fact, that has affected the way the thinking along that line has affected the way some of us in NCSG have approached this election and our decisions. So I certainly hope we can fix that going forward.
Well, I continue to leave it open for councilors. If anyone in the audience would like to comment on this, please go to a microphone. And I see Philip. Welcome.
Thank you. Speaking in my current capacity as OSC chair, which may or may not be relevant, depending on what happens towards the end of the meeting, what I'm hearing, I think, was that council may be requesting some greater precision on the procedures, and that will be helpful. But also, has there been any issue to do with the complexity of the procedures that you put in place, and would something simpler be more desirable, or was that about right?
Stefan?
Thanks, Philip. Perhaps I should be more specific in my comments. I find the actual system that we have now, going into the second round, difficult to work. And I don't understand the logic of when you have a forced system whereby you can only have two candidates maximum. So I'm not clear on the logic whereby in the second round the candidate has to beat himself. And that came out wrong, sorry. Why he has to beat a certain percentage. That's not clear to me. There may be a very good reason for that, but that's something that I'd certainly like to discuss or revisit. And I do think I'm not sure it's a complexity thing. I think it's more understanding why things are done that way.
Okay, good.
Okay. Wendy.
Thank you. I think that we have had a problem with the level of detail of many of the rules that have come before the council, and it sometimes gets in the way of doing the work that we're trying to do, to have to engage with a great deal of detail around how that work might be done. And while, of course, we all come into this with different viewpoints and differing interests, I think we might rely a bit more on trust in one another to be able to reach procedures by discussion rather than spelling out to the last T what must happen in every circumstance.
Did you want to comment further, Philip?
Nope, just listening.
Okay, that's fine. No, that's good. I just wanted to give you the opportunity. One of the questions that I've heard a lot of people ask is, should the new or the old council elect the chair? And I know quite a few people have expressed concern there. Probably the existing procedures would allow it to be the new council. I think that's probably true. So we didn't go that way this time. But that certainly, I think, is an issue that could be considered. And obviously, if the new council was to do it, that would change some other timings, the terms, et cetera. But those are all issues that could be managed, I think.
Sure.
So. Any other comments or questions? Okay. Thank you very much on that. Going on to agenda item 4. The new GTLD applicant guidebook. And let me say right up front, this is not an opportunity in this session to discuss the proposed final applicant guidebook. There have been other opportunities this week for that, but there are several motions that have been made that relate to new GTLDs that we're going to take up under this agenda topic. And the first one is the Joint Applicant Support Working Group, abbreviated the JAS Working Group. And was the JAS Working Group at the music night last night? I presume they should have been, but by their name. But anyway, have the link to the recommendations on the agenda there. And those are interim recommendations. They're still working on. That group has been working amazingly hard. I compliment them sincerely how much time they've been putting in. I think they've been meeting at least twice a week for months. And in response to a board motion. And we do have a motion that has been made in that regard. Now, let me request the patience of the audience today. There has been so much going on with motions in the GNSO Council in the last few days that if we need to correct or fix a few things in live today, please bear with us because it's been challenging keeping up with all of the things. But I also want to compliment the fact that there has been very active engagement by counselors on these motions to try and reach some consensus positions that most could support. So I compliment the council in that regard. So, Bill, would you read your motion, please? Looks like I caught him off guard.
You did indeed. It's Rafiq's motion, and he's online, I believe.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. I was anticipating that he was not going to be here, and fortunately he was able to join us. Rafiq, my apologies. I was working under my pre-hospital understanding and forgot that you were able to make it. So would you please read your motion? It's back to you, Bill.
All right, but now we have Wolf's version, too. You want me to read the
Oh, that's right. We have an amendment on that one. My apologies.
So, yes.
That's okay, yeah. My mistake. So you'll have to bear with me a little bit here. So we have an amendment that was not accepted as a friendly amendment. And, yeah, I should have that in front of me. That needs to be acted on first to see whether we approve the amendment, and then we will go to the motion itself. Wolf.
Thank you, Chuck. I'm sorry. Well, it's the amendment is only to be understood if you read the motion itself, but I can be brief in this respect. You know, the motion is a larger text, and my amendment means just to remove one paragraph of this motion, and this paragraph deals with the following. Establishing, the motion is about extending the charter of the Jazz Working Group to fulfill their obligations. And my amendment was, well, to remove one paragraph which deals with the following, establishing a framework, in brackets, for consideration, etc., including a possible recommendation for a separate ICANN-originated foundation for managing any auction income beyond costs for future rounds and ongoing assistance. Full stop. So, if I may, I would like to explain what I mean. In principle, I fully support the motion, all the other points. So that's it. In principle, I also support this point to be done and to be done by a group, a respective group, which can cover this point. I'm of the opinion that the Jazz Group at the time being, in their with their membership, is too mainly focused on just from the to the applicants. That means it is called joint applicant support group. There may be other groups, others who are also interested in what is it about, the auction profit, a potential auction profit for the new utilities. And therefore, I'm of the opinion this task should be allocated to a different group immediately, so which is capable to cover this task. And I have some doubts whether the Jazz is a little bit, narrowed, you know, in looking to this task, and therefore I would like to have this task taken out of this motion and allocated, and the council should immediately talk about how to allocate this task to an appropriate group. Thank you.
Thank you, Wolf. Is there a second to the motion for this amendment? Jeff, did you want to second it? Before we discuss it, we need a second.
I second it.
Thank you, Jamie. Okay, Jeff, now you're up.
Yeah, I think, I certainly think that this is an improvement in what it took out, but I think there's other areas of this motion that I would also take out and apply almost the exact same comment. So I'm a little torn as to vote for this amendment, but I still think that the entire motion has got some issues. So I'll just sit back and listen to what people have to say.
That's fine, and we can deal with the other issues when we get to the motion. It's the direct motion itself. Now it's open for council discussion. And there is opportunity if there's anybody from the audience who wants to participate in this. Okay, Bill.
I would just repeat what I said to Wolf this morning in email on the council list, that I can understand his concern about whether or not the jazz group is the right place to be specifying the modalities of a foundation and auctions and so on, although I don't actually think the text is that expansive. I suppose one could read it in an expansive way. But if that's the concern, I would think that we could have specified more clearly that what this the jazz group would have been doing would have been just to be establishing principles, a framework for any funds that were, if there were any funds made available through an auction, then that would be the place where they would set the framework for addressing that. That would have struck me as a kind of a middle ground position, but I didn't get any response on that. And so if the only option is to simply strike this, then it seems to me then that leaves us in a position where all the people who did all this work over an extended period of time to come up with a mechanism to respond to needs that many people in the community felt were quite real would sort of be losing council's endorsement prematurely, it seems to me. So,
thank you, Bill. Any other councillors want to comment? Jeff, is your hand still up? Okay. Aubrey.
I'm Aubrey Doria. I'm co-chair of the jazz group. I appreciate very much Wolf Ulrich's concern, and I think it was a concern that we were aware of when we put together the motion. The notion of what to do about these funds, auction funds beyond the cost of auctions, has been a sort of topic of not discussion since the notion of auctions first came up. When the GNSO was first looking at how one deals with contention beyond community and how one deals with contention beyond all the other things, it got to auction. And one of the things I know was said at the time was, well, auctions might be okay as long as we're doing something right and proper with the monies and they aren't just going back into ICANN coffers as, I know it's not quite profits because it's nonprofit, but aren't just going back into general funds. This and in terms of foundations, there has been sort of a background conversation ever since then that these are the kinds of ideas that need to be looked into in terms of dealing with those funds when they're accrued. And again, there has been no discussion of doing that as far as I can tell. In looking at the needs of people from developing economies, the fact that these funds would be there and would be there perhaps to help in the ongoing process, certainly not into introduction, seemed like a natural starting point for us. So I understand the concern. And one of the things we looked at was what we would be doing is beginning the conversation. We would be getting to put ideas on the table, talking to staff, understanding what the limitations and conditions were for doing such a process, and then opening up and giving just one suggestion. It would then come back to our various chartering organizations. We have, you know, the ALAC has already rechartered us. We are now, of course, beseeching you all to recharter us. And we'd come back to our chartering organizations and say, here's one idea. It would go out to the community. There would be other ideas. The conversation would be rolling. So I truly respect Wolf Ulrich's reasons, and if it is stricken, I certainly appreciate his intention, but I still hope that this clause plus the whole motion will pass through, given the important consideration of finding support for people from developing economies to participate in our processes. Thank you.
Thank you, Aubrey. Wolf? Oh, I'm sorry, it was Alan.
Thank you. As a member of the working group and as the ALEC liaison, and we have rechartered using the existing charter, recognizing we might have to change it to be in line with the GNSO, but someone had to go first. It's quite clear that this working group is not composed of a large number of lawyers and tax accountants who are in a position to write a detailed description of a charter, of a foundation. On the other hand, as Avery said, it's important to get the discussion going and to start trying to outline what we think might be the important aspects of such a foundation or such a process. Just because someone has to start first, ICANN staff have said, yes, we should probably go in that way. No, we haven't talked about it yet. Does anyone have any ideas on how to start? And this was an attempt to do that start, not with the belief that we would write all the papers that could then be submitted to the tax authorities to create a foundation.
Thank you, Alan. Andre, and then we'll go to Andy.
Thank you. I think that Jess, as a work group, has a full capability to handle the issue of auctions and can provide the further research on how to find the fund the projects which are out of scope of the big business and big money, because this world, it's big, and obviously the people who want to light up the new GTLDs in the development countries or low-income economies, they really need support. And this is, and I believe this is issue of GNSO. It's not the issue of somebody else. Well, it's also issue of other groups of ICANN, but regarding the lawyers, I don't think it's yet time to ask lawyers to define something, because they will tell you multiple answers why not to do it. So I guess just have to continue its work and do a little bit more research in this area. Thank you.
Thank you, Andre. Andy, are you still in the queue?
Just a quick mention. I wanted to echo what...
Give your name, please.
Andrew Mack, I'm sorry. I just wanted to echo what Avery and Alan had said much better than I would have, but to add one additional piece of it, which is, having spent the morning with a lot of the people who might potentially benefit from this, I recognize we're not a group of lawyers and accountants, but the sooner we get this process, thinking about this process going, and the sooner that we start to tap into the resources of this very smart community, the more likely we are to get to do some of the support that we really like to get at. So thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments on the amendment? Jamie? Yeah, I can see.
I just think that Wolf's proposal is not only to suppress this, but also to, as soon as possible, to bring the subject to another working group, a wider community, or even GNSO working group. And this should be done immediately, I think.
Thank you. Edmund?
Yeah, I was hearing that in terms of sort of utilizing the funds from the auctions, I think it's useful for the community to talk about it. I understand that this is the applicant support part of it. I think perhaps the scope of the use of the funds, I'm not sure if I missed anything. Perhaps the board has some direction or anything. If not, then perhaps the funds could be used in other areas as well. So that definitely work should be done in identifying. The community should do work on identifying, you know, how if those funds are available, what you know to help developing areas and to promote ICANN's mission and stuff. but perhaps that's, you know, that requires a slightly different scope than this particular working group.
Okay, next we have Mary. Go ahead, Rafiq. We'll let you jump in. Thank you for letting me know.
From the different stakeholder groups.
Thank you, Rafiq. Mary?
Thanks, Chuck. And I'm not sure this process-wise is the right way to go about it, so I'll just plunge ahead with my suggestion, and if I have to make the suggestion again later, I will. So what I'm hearing, I think, is that there is general recognition that there is some need to explore applicant support and how that's going to be done, and that the Jazz Working Group has started a very good effort in that regard. Secondly, that the question of auction income and the associated issues is something that has to be discussed, and the question there I'm hearing is whether or not this is something that is within the purview of the Jazz Working Group. At the same time, the Jazz Working Group seems to me to be particularly well situated to consider that broad question within its purview, within its specialization, which is support for particular groups of applicants. So far, I think everybody's with me. What I'm going to do is to propose a hopefully friendly amendment to Rafiq and Bill's motion.
Oh, okay. Now let's hold on a second, because our focus right now is the amendment made by Wolf.
I understand. So, which is why I'm raising my hand now and asking whether it would be appropriate if I made my proposal now, so that perhaps Wolf and others on the council can consider withdrawing their amendment or something like that. If that's not permissible, that's fine. But I wanted to put it out there in case it is permissible.
I suspect, I'm no parliamentarian, but I suspect that the literal way of interpreting the Roberts Rules of Order is that we consider the amendment first. If the council was, if there were no objections to us looking ahead a little bit, I'm okay with that. Are there any objections? Are there any objections to? Go ahead, Christina. You had your hand up, and I was going to call on you next. Let's let Christina make her comment, and then I'll come back to that. And then I have Adrian as well.
I was actually coming about this from a different direction that I hopefully wouldn't require any further amendments. I do, in fact, have some concern as to whether any kind of work regarding a foundation is within the scope of the working group. However, we don't know because we haven't asked ICANN staff. So my suggestion would be that we accept the friendly amendment, we proceed to vote on the motion. In the meantime, we put in a request to staff to get clarification on this point. And if the answer is yes, this would be appropriate work for a working group, then in our next meeting, which is less than a month from now, Rafiq and Bill can put in an amendment, can put in a motion that would amend the charter to add it back in. It would seem to me that if we can do that, we can do a couple of things. First, we can move on with what is a very full agenda. Second, we can, I think, address some of the immediate concerns while still keeping that option open. Third, we'll have more concrete, more accurate information as to go forward. And frankly, given that we're only less than a month out from our next meeting, there's a lot in this charter for the working group to do in the meantime. I don't know if that's something that Rafiq and Bill would consider entertaining.
Okay, and Mary, I'm going to come back to your question. I'm going to go ahead and get the people in the queue right now because it may be relevant. And Adrian, you're next. Okay, thank you. Jeff.
Yeah, I think, you know, I heard the statements from Mary, and I just wanted to respond that I don't think everyone's with you on some of the points that you made. You know, I was saving a lot of the discussion that the registries had for the full motion. And like I said earlier, you know, the registries are kind of shaking our head because, you know, we can accept the amendment, but it doesn't cure all the issues we have with the full motion that's pending. So, you know, again, like I said, we may accept the amendment, but it's more than just the foundation that a number of us think are beyond the scope of this group.
Thank you, Jeff. Any other comments? Okay, Adrian?
I'd just like to agree with Jeff. Thanks.
Thank you. So now the question back to, does anybody object to considering, because I think it is a violation of Robert's Rules of Order, but if there's no objections, I'm okay with proceeding with it. With listening to Mary's amendment, before we, you object, Wolf?
Well, it's not an objection, but from this discussion, I got the impression that's not only about my amendment. So if Mary's suggestion is referring to my amendment, that might be not enough. So I got the impression, so just looking around, so that there are other points, well, which may councillors prevent from agreeing to the motion itself, and this should be discussed. Thanks.
So did I understand that that you believe it would be good to discuss these other issues before we act on your amendment, and you're okay with that? Are there any objections to that? Okay. So then let's... I'm fully aware that this doesn't follow Robert's Rules of Orders, but I don't think we have to be too legalistic in that regard. I think everybody wants to be constructive. I think, as Mary said, everyone wants there to be support provided for needy applicants, okay? So I don't think that's a point of argument or debate. So let's go ahead and using chair's discretion and violating Robert's rules, let's go ahead and proceed to discussion about the motion, but we should first of all have the motion read and not just the amendment. So if we could do that now. Mary, I think it was your motion.
I was actually going to suggest that so as to not be in violent violation of Robert's rules, that
we already are.
To not be in overly violent violation of Robert's rules, that perhaps, you know, we can defer this motion until the break, and that I'll have a chance to confer with Wolf and others, and perhaps that might be a lot easier.
Is there any objection to deferring this motion till after the break? I can't guarantee it'll be right after the break, but I don't know that that matters. Anybody object to that? And maybe several people. Some of you, what I would encourage then, it's going to be a busy break for a lot of you, okay? Maybe not much of a break. But John, what I would encourage is, just one second, what I would encourage you to do is any of you who have thoughts on this, share them with one another so maybe we can work some things out on the break, not just what we've heard, but maybe some new things. So I encourage that discussion. Stefan.
Okay, now we've just... that's okay.
Okay, thanks. Sorry if I took your thunder there. So, all right, so we will do that. Not seeing any... No further discussion at this time. Let's go on to agenda item 5, which is the joint IDN working group. This is regarding new top-level domains. And so let's go to Edmund for a Oh, did I skip one? Oh, I sure. My apologies. We have the vertical integration issue, a motion with regard to vertical integration. So that's item B of item 4. So let's jump right to that. There's a link to the vertical integration interim report, and a motion was made by Stefan. And Stefan, I'll ask you to read. Is everybody okay with just reading the resolution part of the motion rather than all of the whereases? Okay, go ahead, just read the resolve part, Stefan.
Resolved that the GNSO Council recognizes that in light of these recent developments, there is no longer a need or desire to pursue further policy development activities with respect to this issue. Resolved further that the GNSO Council formally ends the PDP on vertical integration between registries and registrars without making any recommendations for specific policy changes to ICANN's Board of Directors. Resolved further that the VIPDP working group is hereby disbanded. The GNSO Council appreciates the hard work and tremendous effort shown by each member of the VIPDP working group in producing the interim report, and sincerely thanks the co-chairs, Mike O'Connor and Roberto Gaetano, for their leadership in this PDP.
Thank you, Stefan. That motion was seconded by both Terry Davis and Andrei Kolesnikov. Is there any discussion? Okay. Yes, John.
I get to stand in for Zahid and speak for Mike, seeing as how he's stayed too long at the music party last night.
Okay, John. Go ahead.
There is, I think, agreement that the fine work of the group is done in its current form, but that there may and are some other issues that could deserve attention in the near term. So that I don't think that saying that if the vote is to end the VI working group, it doesn't mean that there won't be opportunity or reason to look at other issues as they come up.
Thank you. Tim?
I can't speak for everyone because this is the first time we've heard that particular comment, but I don't. I believe we would agree with that. I don't think that, you know, as we go forward, if we see additional issues that need to be addressed, that wouldn't be agreed that they should be addressed. But I think that what we're looking at now is moving forward. Let's find out, you know, what those issues are before we begin to pursue anything. So I think leaving the working group open and kind of hanging without any real direction for where they should go, I think, is what we're trying to avoid at this point. But as those issues and problems surface, then certainly they should be addressed appropriately.
Thank you, Tim. Any other comments? Does anyone object to a voice vote on this motion? You object to a voice vote? Okay. So we will do a roll call vote. Glenn?
Thank you, Chuck. Stefan van Gelder.
Yes.
William Drake?
Yes.
Tim Ruiz?
Yes.
Chuck Gomes?
Yes.
Wendy Seltzer?
Yes.
Mike Rodenbach?
Yes.
David Taylor?
No.
No.
Rosemary Sinclair?
Yes.
Mary Wong?
Yes.
Wolf Ulrich Knobin?
Yes.
Jamie Wagner?
Yes.
Adrian Kindrus?
Yes.
Refik Damak?
Sorry, I just joined it now, the conf call. Just if someone remind me what the vote is about.
Rafik, this is the motion to end the VI-PDP working group.
Okay. I think I will vote yes.
Jeff Newman.
Yes.
Christina Rosette?
No, and I'd like to, either now or at the end of the vote, provide a statement for the record as to why not.
Now? Debbie Hughes?
Yes.
John Brera?
Yes.
Terry Davis?
Yes.
Edmund Chan?
Yes.
Olga Cavelli?
Yes.
The motion passes, Chuck. There are two no's in the non-contracted party house. Everybody in favor in the contracted party house, so the amendment passes.
The motion passes. And now, Christina, please.
Sure, the IPC is voting against this motion because, frankly, we don't think it should ever have had cause to occur in the first place, because the board voted to allow the vertical integration cross-ownership contrary to its previously stated positions and despite the lack of consensus among the GNSO Chartered PDP VI Working Group.
Thank you. I appreciate that clarification. Okay. Adrian? Okay. All right. Thank you very much on that. And I want to thank the many, many people who participated in that working group. Some for many, many, many months that stuck it through right to the end. So my compliments and thanks. Thanks to the co-chairs for all the time they put in and for Roberto and for Mikey. Nice job, guys. And I want to reiterate it again. Many of you that have been in the ICANN community for a while know you've heard me say this before. The fact that consensus is not reached does not mean failure. It may just mean there really isn't consensus, and that's a fact that we need to be aware of. So thank you very much to everyone. Wolf.
Thank you, Chuck. Following what you just said, I would like to make a personal statement, more or less, here. Whilst we have still concern over this within our constituency, and I present this here as an individual opinion from the both councillors of the ISPCP constituency with regards to the process, how we handled this process. My statement is, as councillors, we are not satisfied with the way the council managed the topic of the vertical integration. The council established and chartered the working group on vertical integration and received an interim report with no consensus on any recommendation. The council, claiming its role of being the manager of the policy development process, was not even able to comment on whether it would see further chances to come to conclusions or not, and just forwarded his interim report to the board. As a consequence, the council seemed to be very much surprised that the board took a decision on the topic of vertical integration. We personally appreciate the fact, in general, that the board is capable to act with regards to such an essential question. Also, some of our community have reservations to the decision made. Our concern is that the council's role as manager of the PDP may be weakened in future if more topics come up where the council may be not in the position to provide guidance to the board. We therefore urge the council and ourselves to take this seriously in order to avoid this kind of scenario. What I would like to point out is not, I wouldn't only criticize, it's our intent here to make this council more sensitive that he may lose awareness by the board with respect to important topics. Thank you.
Thank you, Wolf. Any other comments? Jeff?
Yeah, I just, and this may be an issue that we need to look at as far as the policy process as a whole, but I want to remind the council that many members of the council had opposed the creation of this or the initiation of this PDP in the first place. In fact, I, if I remember correctly, this did not have a majority of both houses, and you don't need that to initiate a PDP. But I think in the future, so it's not a surprise to many of us what happened in this group. And I think maybe it's something we need to take back as part of the policy process. But I just want to record that for, or just remind people of that fact. And from my perspective, it's not a surprise at all what happened in this group.
Thank you, Jeff. Any other comments? And Liz, did you want to talk on this issue?
No, it's on the preceding issue, and I'm managing or helping to coordinate the remote participation, so I have a comment from a remote participant.
On this topic?
No, on the preceding topic.
Okay, well, we'll get to that in just a minute. Let me wrap up this one. Sorry, I probably should have called on you sooner. Any other comments on the vertical integration? Mary?
Just very briefly to respond to Wolf's statement, it seems to me that it simply is because the council is in a managerial role that when we received a report from the working group, and I take to heart what Jeff is saying, and maybe there are things we need to look at about the process, that the only thing we could do, particularly given the lack of consensus, was to support those in the community that work so hard on it and forward it on to the board instead of doing nothing. And secondly, I don't think it's true that we were surprised that the board took a decision. We may have been surprised at the actual decision that the board took, but we knew that the board was going to take a decision. But as Chuck, you said earlier, a lack of consensus might just mean a lack of consensus.
Thank you. Stefan.
I actually don't agree with Mary that it's a process issue. I think it's a communications issue. I strongly agree with what Jeff was saying. There was a motion that was put forward by me, if I remember rightly, to agree with the staff recommendations in the issues report. The council decided to ignore that and voted to initiate a PDP. That is something that is, there's no issue with that process. That is the correct process. We may want to ask ourselves if we could have talked about this more and avoid that situation, but it's not a process issue.
Thank you. All right, let's go on this topic, Mikey, I'm glad to see you. So you've probably been here all week and haven't even seen me, huh?
No, I'm really pleased to see you back with your nifty new hat. I like the hat a lot.
Good. Go ahead, Mikey.
My name is Mikey O'Connor. I was the junior co-chair of the VI working group. And I have a substantive comment and then the usual formal stuff at the end. But, you know, on this particular topic, I think one of the really interesting observations that's come to me is that ICANN's, just like any organization, got a lot of different ways that it can make decisions. One way to do it is by consensus. One is by doing, you know, assigning an executive to run a function, and that person makes a decision. You know, there's, if you sort of read your Management 101 textbook, there are all kinds of ways to make decisions. And I think the VI working group is a good example of how ICANN has sort of limited itself a bit in saying, we only make decisions by consensus. And we might want to sort of back off from this and think about some options for different kinds of decisions which might need different kinds of decision-making processes. So it's right in with what Jeff was saying and all of you are saying. it's kind of a process issue. It's kind of a breath mint. It's kind of a candy mint. You know, it's a puzzler for you. And you might just want to also think about different ways of making decision in the ICANN context. On to the last little bit. I just wanted to say formally on the record first that I had an absolutely fabulous time in my junior co-chair role. I met a wonderful man as my senior co-chair in Roberto, and I'm sure that if he was here, we would be arm in arm on this. I also met a fabulous group of people who worked unbelievably hard. There were 75 people in that group. It's kind of big for a working group. Wouldn't recommend it in the future. It's a little hard to manage. But it was a great group, and they did a great job, and they produced a great report, and I just want to say thanks to all of them for everything they did.
Thank you, Mikey, and again, thanks to the working group. Andre?
Just a short comment. There was a lot of comments about the procedure, the process, the working groups, et cetera, et cetera. I'd like to repeat the one very simple thing that we can talk about the process, you know, spend a lot of time regarding this, but there must be a reality check. As I said last time, there is no need to develop something which you will not be able to control. The VI is in this real. I mean, you cannot control these things in a big portion of the countries worldwide. That's it.
Thank you, Andre. And Liz, let's go to that comment. Sorry it's delayed, but if you could read that now, I'd appreciate it.
Thank you. I just need to scroll up for a second. This is a comment about the joint applicant support discussion that we had just previously. This is from a guest in the chat. The guest states, the community needs... Whoops. Every time the chat moves, it jumps, so I apologize. The community needs significantly more direction from the board as to how the board envisions the use of any funds derived for auctions. It almost sounds like slicing up the pie before it is even made. Actually, the GNSO really has no authority to direct funds. Suggest a community comment after board decides the basic charter for the trust. And this individual further says way outside the scope of this working group. And I just want to note also that I did ask this individual to identify him or herself for the scribes, and they are concerned that ICANN is not willing to accept an unascribed comment here, sorry, it's just the chat keeps jumping around. And that this is not an incendiary comment regarding the use of auction funds. It's a suggestion from the member of the community and asks whether we are trying to intimidate here. Thank you.
Thank you, Liz, and thank you to whoever made the comment in that regard. I appreciate you participating remotely. Adrian?
Just to Liz's point that ICANN won't accept an unascribed comment, if you want to put my name in front of that, I'll happily take it. That was, I think, a very well-made argument. And I also have the same concerns. I think there is an assumption that there will be funds. Number one, that there is an assumption that there will be funds from auctions available. And number two, that if they are available, that this working group or these people of need or entities of need are going to receive some of those funds ahead of others. And I can think of many other ways to ensure that we impact the use of the internet globally outside of owning a TLD that those funds could be used for. I've bit my tongue about talking about funds today because of the discussion around amendments, but this seemed like a good time to chime in and ensure that if this wasn't going to be acknowledged, that at least some comment around the funds was. By speaking up now. So thank you.
Thank you, Adrian. I'm going to move to agenda item 5 before we take a break.
No, we
Oh, I'm sorry. What do we? Oh, the. Oh, recommendation six. Oh, yeah, that one. We may not get to five. Okay. Recommendation six. Margie's going to give us a quick review of that. There's a reference to a motion that Mary will read. And there's been some proposed amendments. There's a lot of stuff going on here. Let's start with Margie.
Hello? Okay, perfect. I'll give you a very brief overview of the Rec 6 report. We went in depth of this on the weekend sessions with the GNSO Council. Essentially, there was a cross-community working group that was established, formed by members of the at-large community, the GNSO community, and GAC, to address the issue of the implementation of Recommendation 6. Recommendation 6 is a GNSO recommendation regarding the new TLD program, and essentially states that strings may not be contrary to generally accepted legal norms relating to morality and public order that are recognized in international principles of law. And essentially, the working group did not revisit Recommendation 6, but it did develop implementation guidelines to address the concerns of the GAC, GNSO, and at-large communities. There's a very long report. I'm not going to go over it now. But essentially, the consensus in the report was that the implementation model for Recommendation 6 is flawed, and the report included numerous recommendations and described various levels of consensus to improve the implementation of Recommendation 6. And I've provided you a link to the report on the slide. So after the publication of the report, the report came out before the board's Trondheim meeting or retreat, the board took a look at the recommendations and made and adopted some resolutions. And some of the recommendations that were included in the report have been included in the proposed final applicant guidebook. Not all of them were included, however, because some of them were viewed as inconsistent with the GNSO Council prior guideline H that essentially stated that external dispute resolution providers would give decisions on objections. And there was also the board resolution relating to the board of the role with respect to the new GTLD strings, and there was some concern about there being inconsistencies with the existing processes that were already incorporated in the prior versions of the applicant guidebooks. Since the ICANN board didn't have sufficient time to evaluate the recommendations, it did make a recommendation that a consultation take place with respect to the working group and staff and the board to identify additional recommendations to adopt. And if you were attending some of the sessions earlier this week, you'll see that there was this consultation took place. And we're in the process of identifying additional recommendations that hopefully will be reflected in the next guidebook. And so the issue with respect to this report was that because of the timing of the publication and the GNSO Council meetings, it wasn't clear whether there was whether the recommendations in there did receive the support of the various supporting organizations and advisory committees. And the report itself actually stated that that the next step with respect to these recommendations were that each supporting organization and advisory council would follow their procedures as outlined in the bylaws to approve or comment on the recommendations in the working group. And so that's where we are. There's a motion currently to approve the report to be discussed now. Any questions?
Thank you, Margie. Does anyone on the council have any questions of Margie? Okay, now, I must admit, I'm not totally sure where we're at on the motion. Mary, do you think you know where we're at on this motion? Could you help me out?
I'll try, because I find myself in the
strange position of probably offering a friendly amendment to my own motion. So someday I'd like to offer an unfriendly amendment to myself. And
go ahead.
I think for everyone who's in the room, it probably would be helpful to look at the printout that Glenn has handed out. If you don't have it, I don't know if we are going to have it on the screen somewhere.
You're talking about the motion handout?
Yes.
Okay. I don't think people in the audience have that. But
okay.
So just the counselors do, I believe.
Okay, so just so you know, it might be somewhat of a long read.
But that is what is posted on the wiki.
It's been posted on the wiki, and essentially the reason I mentioned that is that if you've prepared for this meeting, looking at what was on the wiki or on the website before 12 noon today, you would have seen the original unamended motion. So what I'm proposing that we vote on is the amended, updated motion, which is now on the wiki and on the handout. Should I go ahead and read it?
Please do. And I suspect in this case, even though it is long, it probably is helpful to read the whole motion.
Right. And I also want to first thank Margie for the summary. It was really helpful. It does capture the essence of, I think, what I'm trying to do with the amended motion now, bearing in mind that we're looking at continuing work and consultation between the CWG and the staff. So here goes. Whereas on the 8th of September 2010, the GNSO Council endorsed GNSO participation in a joint working group with other interested supporting organizations and advisory committees to provide guidance to the ICANN new GTLD implementation team and the ICANN board in relation to the implementation of the Council's Recommendation 6 regarding strings that contravene generally accepted legal norms relating to morality and public order that are recognized under international principles of law. Whereas the Recommendation 6 Cross-Community Working Group, or CWG, was established in accordance with the terms of reference that were also approved by the GNSO Council on the 8th of September. Whereas the CWG has since delivered a set of recommendations regarding implementation of the GNSO Council's Recommendation 6 for new GTLDs to the community. And whereas the role of the Council is to manage the cross-community process on behalf of the GNSO community, and the Council notes that the CWG's implementation proposals have been produced in accordance with that group's terms of reference. Resolved, the Council thanks the CWG and its participants from the GNSO, the other SOs and ACs for their hard work, and acknowledges that the CWG recommendations do not constitute consensus policy or GNSO policy development otherwise within the purview of the GNSO. Resolved further that the Council hereby... Can I take that back?
Yes.
I'll start on the resolved further again. Resolved further, the Council recommends that each stakeholder group provide feedback as soon as possible to the CWG in order to resolve outstanding questions regarding implementation of Recommendation 6 in a judicious manner, considering in particular those recommendations that received full consensus in the CWG.
Thank you, Mary. Bill, do you renew your second for this version of the motion?
Sure.
Thank you. Discussion. Tim.
The staff has developed a fairly detailed response to each of the recommendations. I guess my question was just if we could re-detail how the recommendations found their way in the staff's hands, since I don't recall here right off the top of my head and I don't really have access to all the history.
I'm not sure I understand your question. Are you asking how did the recommendations get from the community working group to the staff and the board?
Exactly.
Okay. Well, of course, you know the answer to that. They were sent. I think, is your question really, why didn't it go through the council first?
Well, my question is, I don't recall us doing it, but that doesn't mean that we didn't, with the way my recollection works. So I just want to make sure.
No, you're correct. No, I'm not challenging. I just wanted to make sure I was clear on the question. Margie, did you want to jump in here?
I was just trying to remember whether it was sent from the council or if it just
no, it was not. Okay. It was not.
Yeah, I
and
remember.
That may have been Tim as much. I'll take responsibility for that. Okay. Right or wrong, let me take responsibility for that. Mary?
Thanks, Chuck. And I don't have the full terms of reference for the CWG in front of me, but I believe that the language in one of the whereas clauses tracks the terms of reference, and I believe our terms of reference were to provide guidance on implementation to the new GTLD implementation team, whoever they are.
Right. And the council was involved in that, but not in the transmittal of the report. So you're absolutely right, Tim, on that. Jeff?
Yeah, I think, we spent a lot of time on the weekend talking about the role of cross-community working groups. And the problem that the registries have with the what was added to the resolution, we had problems with what was originally in, but the problems we have with what was added is the notion, or at least implied notion, that there would be comments going directly from the stakeholder groups to the CWG and then straight to the board without any kind of council involvement. And we spent a lot of time on the weekend talking about this, and really what's supposed to happen is that the cross-working group should finalize its report and send that to the council, and it's the council that should forward that on to the board. I also want to say with a little bit of dismay, and I'm not sure how this all happened, but the fact that the board this week was talking directly to the working group as if all of this was a fait accompli, if I said that right, without the council approving the final report seems a little bit premature and is not something that, it's going to be part of our continuing dialogue. But certainly this resolution again implies, I want to say it again, that the stakeholder groups send their comments to the CWG, which gets sent to the board, almost setting another layer above the council or between the council and the board. And for that reason, the registries are not inclined to vote in favor of this motion. And so obviously we'd like to hear some feedback on that, but that's what the discussion we had.
Stefan.
Jeff, I'm available for French lessons if you want, if you need them. Fait accompli. I want to, as I see Avery approaching the mic, I want to echo what Jeff's saying, because we are, the registrars, puzzled, to say the least, by seeing this group talking to the board directly and thrashing out the issues as if there was some policy development going on. I know it's a fine line between policy and implementation. I think we need to be very careful and try and define that line as well as we can, because we certainly feel uneasy. We're not saying it shouldn't be done, but it certainly makes us feel uneasy when we see this kind of a meeting going on that we weren't really made aware of before.
Thank you, Stefan. Aubrey.
Thank you. Aubrey Doria, simple member of the CWG. I think there's a couple things I'd like to mention. First of all, when you have a cross-community working group, you have many paths to the board. In other words, if ALAC accepts the outcome of the CWG and presents it to the board as advice from ALAC, it's certainly that. Now, the board has to basically take into account of cross-community working group. Okay, it's ALAC advice, but GNSO has not passed on it yet, so it's not a GNSO recommendation. It has none of the aura of a GNSO recommendation with various vote requirements and such. It's advice from the ALAC. That there certainly is that. So with any cross-community working group, you have various organizations, and you have a board that is able to discriminate that, yes, this is advice from ALAC, but we notice GNSO and GAC have not yet given us indication of what they think of it. Then I'd like to come to the thing of who is permitted to speak to the board when. I think understanding that a group, a working group, that is dealing with an issue, perhaps even dealing with an issue at the request of the board, has permission. I did not believe that we had quite gotten to the point of being a military institution where one could only speak through their chain of command, but that one could actually speak to board members, that groups of people could sit in a room and speak to the board. So I would sort of request that the GNSO Council not go too far in mandating a strict chain of command in terms of who the community is allowed to speak to when. Thanks.
Thank you, Aubrey. Mary.
Thanks, Chuck. And just a couple of things. I think I definitely understand the concerns that have been expressed over the process of the CWG from beginning to end. In fact, that is one of it highlighted for the council one of the issues about how to manage this process going forward in the current environment, and there's been discussions with the GAC and other parties on how to manage that. I would just like to urge the council to not let that concern take away from the work that's already been done by a group that we chartered in September and that did its work within the terms of reference of that charter. And in that regard, I'm going to Jeff's comment, is I would be very happy to offer a further friendly amendment to my friendly amended motion, or for you to offer a friendly amendment where in the second resolved clause, instead of saying providing feedback as soon as possible to the CWG, to provide feedback as soon as possible to the council and all other relevant parties.
Thank you, Mary. We'll come back to that. Jeff.
I appreciate that being offered by Mary, and it's probably something that maybe when we take a break, we can talk about that to make sure that we can get some feedback from our groups. I do want to address Aubrey's point because I don't want our statements to be interpreted that we're saying nobody could speak to the board, but we spent a lot of time this weekend talking about the perception that's created, and when someone represents a cross-community working group and presents that to the board, it is easy to understand how the board may assume that that actually has support from the community that the CWG is purporting to represent. So, again, we are not saying in any way to stifle any kind of speech, but if you're talking to the board, they should know it's Aubrey talking to the board. If the CWG is talking to the board, then the perception should not be created that they actually represent the cross community that they're purporting to represent. And the feedback I got from some board members who were quite surprised when I made the statement that this had not gone through the GNSO Council and that the statements that were made in that direct session were not necessarily the opinion of the GNSO community. So that is what I'm saying. If you want to talk to the board, have lunch with them, have dinner, I'm sure they're great people, and I know they are. Have at it. But please don't misinterpret what we're saying.
Tim?
Yeah, that was my concern as well, that I don't think we have any intention of trying to restrict who can or can't talk to the board. But there's a difference if it's Mary and Avery and whoever having a discussion with the board versus the CWG negotiating with the board over how can we come to something that you'll agree to when we don't really have a very good understanding of how these community working groups are supposed to work. I guess I was under the impression, as Mary's offering now, that these recommendations would come back to the council for our discussion. We would have an opportunity to vet them with our stakeholder groups before we're asked to approve the recommendations. And yet, they found their way to the staff and the board, and we were concerned about what the whole context of the meeting that the CWG was having with the board yesterday, because it was presented to us as a CWG and board meeting. So maybe we have that misunderstanding of what was taking place there. So probably a lot of this is just misunderstanding and a need to come to some more formal agreement as to how the community working groups are going to be formed and how they're going to work and what's the flow. And that might be a little bit different in each case depending on what they address, because they'll be addressing, perhaps a variety of things that don't fit into any neat little cubbyhole. I can understand that. But as far as the restricting who talks to the board, again, I agree with Jeff. We're not implying that at all.
Thanks, Tim. And before I go to Bill, I hope if there's nothing else that we learn from this discussion and all that's gone on this week and in recent weeks in this regard, is that we do need to develop some procedures, and maybe be flexible procedures depending on the issue and so forth, so that these things are clear in that regard. So I hope there's that we will work as a community for in the GNSO first, too, to okay, well, how are we going to handle these kind of things in the future? Because there is nothing that defines those procedures and that process. So let's at least learn from that. Bill.
I understand the points that are being raised about the procedural issues and certainly think that it would be sensible based on this experience and others for us to try to nail down more clearly to everybody's mutual satisfaction how we do these things. At the same time, it's not obvious to me why one would penalize the work of this group in order to make the point that this needs to be done. I mean, the procedural stuff can be sorted out. People can put their heads together. I think everybody recognizes the problem. But at the same time, it certainly wasn't the intention of the working group or the motion supporting the work of the working group to be, in the first instance, problematizing the relationship between the council and the board or anything like that. And really, I think the main thing to focus on is the substantive work. The fact that, you know, go back to Brussels. We had the GAC get up and say, we can't live with what you guys have had in the applicant guidebook, and you got to do something quickly. And there was pressure to try to come up with some thoughts about this. And ALAC and GAC were already talking, and there was a need for us to try to push the ball down the court a little bit on the substantive merits of how does one work through these issues. And the group worked very hard and came up with some things that I think are real improvements. And it would be, to me, a pity to sort of not recognize that because we're unhappy with the mechanics of how the reporting flow worked. I mean, that can be sorted out separately, but I would still not, set aside all the good work that was done by these people on the substantive merits of this issue. This is a very important issue from all kinds of perspectives. And, you know, the fact that we've moved away from that MAPO formulation to something based in international law. So these are real improvements. So I would just ask that we take that under consideration when we think about how we would act in this case.
Okay, I want to let you know that I have a very long queue, so I'm going to ask everyone to be brief. I've got you, Alan. I've got Robin, Mary, Jamie, Alan, Mary. Oh, I got Mary twice. don't need to. You only get once, Mary.
Okay. Can I amend myself again? Maybe I get three times.
Stefan, Tim, and I would like to take my chair hat off and talk just briefly as one of the co-chairs of that community working group. And I thought I added you. I'm Wendy, I've got you. I think probably that's how I got two Marys. Robin's next, so on my list. So Robin, and again, everybody, please be brief. I want you to know, you probably don't need to know this, but I am setting a new record in needing a break, so I do want you to be brief. So.
Thanks, Chuck. I'm Robin Gross with the Non-Commercial Stakeholders Group, and it's really unfortunate to me that this is a misunderstanding, and it seems that it's a misunderstanding about a meeting that was called to clear up a misunderstanding. So you must see the irony here. The group was very concerned that our recommendations were not understood by the staff and the board, that they had somehow in the staff papers had been changed away or had been not characterized as the group had meant them to be characterized. So when the board got it, what the board got was actually, many felt, not what the working group had actually said. So this was about simply clearing up misunderstandings about what did the working group say. It wasn't about negotiating with the board. We were explicitly told there would be none of that at this meeting, and the chair of the meeting was very adamant about that. This was not about lobbying the board or negotiating. This was simply about helping the board to understand what did the working group come up with? What were our recommendations? So again, I'm really surprised, and it's unfortunate that now we've got a new misunderstanding over a meeting that had been called in order to clear up a misunderstanding. So thank you.
Thank you, Robin. Mary?
Actually, that was what I was going to say. Then when you exist twice, it's very difficult to speak only once. The meeting with the board really was for clarification, and to my knowledge, it wasn't a meeting sought by the CWG.
And let me jump in there. I was actually called after the board did write its response paper and ask if staff could meet with, it wasn't the board, I don't believe, and Kurt can correct me later if I'm wrong on that, but he called me and said, hey, could we meet in Cartagena? I suggested to him, if we wait till Cartagena, that's going to delay things further, so I suggested a teleconference. And in advance of that, which did happen, and then out of that, the drafting team was formed to come up with some clarification language, and that's what was discussed in the meeting this week. So just clarification there. Let me go now to Jamie.
Well, first, I would like to acknowledge that the work done by the group improved a lot the wording and the comprehension of this issue. And I would like to say that the very idea of cross-community working groups is a good one. And it helps to improve comprehension among the different SOs and ACs, the formal bodies, formal decision and bodies of ICANN. And I think this is a way of improving that should not be formalized because of the risk to short-circuit these formal bodies. And I understand that there is a challenge to deal with time-sensitive questions, and this challenge is trying to put ahead the ideas without passing through the formal bodies. I mean, these cross-community working groups are something to help. To help decision making, and I understand that Mary's amendment to his first amendment is correcting this. That was my concern. I mean, these recommendations should pass through the GNSO Council in a timely manner, and I think this new correction that Mary did is acceptable.
Thank you, Jamie. Alan, thought you were never going to come up, huh?
I actually had my hand up for about 20 minutes on Adobe, but no one noticed.
Oh, I did. I've had your name down for a long time.
A couple of things. First of all, I was part of the working group, and there were occasional lapses in the discussion where individuals started talking on their own behalf and said what they wanted, not what the working group had said and had decided. And they were very quickly pulled back, and the board members were continually reminded that this is what was being presented was the feelings of the working group, and no one ever implied that it was anything more than that or the bodies that chartered the group. What board members may have perceived, one can't control. That's number one. Number two, we've had a number of cases recently when dealing with complex issues that the reports, which we try to make short and concise so board members will read them, do not convey the full intent and nuances of the things being discussed. And we are working in a mode where we toss reports over a brick wall to the board and they toss resolutions back. And this just is proving not satisfactory for getting the real concepts through. So I think what we have here is something that's almost revolutionary in the last few years. Some board members really wanted to understand what was being said and said, let's meet face-to-face so we make sure there's no misunderstanding. I think we should give praise that that's happening now and not try to stop it from happening. I think it's absolutely marvelous that they want to stop the game of broken telephone and make sure that people understand on both sides what is being said. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Stefan.
In the interest of your health, Chuck, plus helping these discussions,
<Thank you.
laughs> I'd suggest that we break now and carry on.
Let's go ahead and finish the queue. I think I'll make it.
I thought I was the last one on the queue. So if I'm not, then let's finish the queue. But I suggest that we have some time to discuss this and see if we can find a way forward.
No, that's where I'm going. But let's finish the queue for now. I have Tim, Wendy, and then I'm going to take my chair hat off just for about 2 minutes.
Yeah, just to sort of set the stage a little bit for our discussion during the break. You know, your point's well taken, Bill, about, you know, not penalizing based on our concerns with the process and that, and I accept that. But what I want to make clear is that, you know, another issue that we have is that, you know, we represent our stakeholder group. We don't represent ourselves. And so we got this motion very late. It wasn't one we were expecting, so, you know, this was not high on the list of our stakeholder group discussions preparing for this meeting to go over in detail the extensive recommendations that were made by the Rec 6 working group. So it's been difficult to get a sense of our stakeholder group to be able to say, yes, we can support these recommendations in whole. And so that's the other problem that we're faced with. But again, hopefully maybe we can work through some of these issues over the break.
Yeah, and I think you're actually right. I've been encouraged by this total discussion. I hope others have appreciated the fact that there's a lot of constructive discussion going on here. And I think we're going to learn a lot from it. We're going to do better next time around, et cetera. So thanks. Thanks for that comment, Tim. Wendy.
Thanks. I just want to briefly connect the discussion that we're having here with the discussion that we've had elsewhere in council about procedures and discussions in very along the stages of work in progress, because I think all of ICANN is dealing with big issues and issues that it can take a long time to wrap our heads around. So while the council is responsible for declaring consensus of the community and reporting to the board that consensus, I think it's entirely reasonable for board members to want to get information about the issues before that consensus is declared, and it would be unreasonable to expect them only to hear consensus at the end and then act quickly upon just that limited knowledge. So I think as long as we can clearly express when council has acted upon an issue and declared a consensus and send that to the board, that there's no problem with the board also getting information from other sources. And so I think we should enhance our ability to clearly declare and describe the consensus when we hear it from the community, or lack of consensus when the community can't reach it, and accept that there are many sources of information that don't rise to the level of consensus.
Thank you, Wendy. Now I'm taking my chair hat off, and I'm putting on my... I didn't see all the nice writing. Thank you. And putting on my co-chair, CWG co-chair hat. I was one of three co-chairs with Cheryl Langdonor from the ALAC and Frank March from the GAC that co-chaired the CWG. And I've already said taken responsibility for the way this was handled. And I'll just very briefly share my motivation. I saw in this an opportunity for big delays. So one of my motivations was, how can we get some stuff done here to address the concerns without causing additional significant delays? Right or wrong, that was my motivation. And I felt as chair of the council that I had some responsibility to try and minimize delays. At the same time, there were some issues that were raised that I believed were implementation issues, clearly in the guidebook rather than policy issues. And I can tell you, and I challenge you to ask any member of the CWG in this regard to see if they agree with me, but I worked hard to keep us out of the policy area. I made it very clear from the beginning that the GNSO had already approved policy. The board had approved that policy, and we weren't going back there. I can tell you that there were several people that tried to go that direction, and I think I was successful at pulling them back every time. So we focused strictly on implementation details in the guidebook and how those might be improved. So in my opinion, the CWG didn't do anything related to policy. Now, I know how everybody defines policy different, so I'm not even going to go there. But I just want to be clear. And so, again, I accept responsibility for the way the process was handled, and I look forward to the council improving that in the future. But you know, don't blame anybody else but me with regard to the fact that it didn't come back to the council. The expediency of it seemed important to get the information out and trying to get the clarity, but I'll take responsibility for that. And now, if no one else does, this chair desperately needs a break. We will come back to this issue and the Jazz Working Group issue if we have time. Please put your heads together if you can in the next few minutes. Unfortunately, I'm going to say a 15-minute break because we're not even close to getting this agenda in, so thank you very much. So we'll be back at 4:20, or I guess it's, yeah, about 4:20. That's good.
So then I just want